Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us to the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, we're here with a Swansea club update. Of course, a lot of things happening at the club. We're joined by Gitto Llewellyn, who you can find on Twitter at that very handle. Also frequently appears on our show. And something about the Jackass, probably. Gitto, very pleased to be speaking with you. A lot has happened at Swansea, so we're kind of going to go through it chronologically here. We'll start with the Paul Clement sacking, because we haven't been able to get you on since then. He was sacked on the 20th. I assume you think that was the right decision at the time?
Yeah, sadly, you know, we've had such a disastrous season and nothing seems to have gone right. It became obvious a couple of weeks ago that Paul Clement wasn't going to be able to turn it around. The performances were too bad. The football was too dire. The results just weren't stacking up. And we were too easy to play against. And the fact is, we're bottom of the table on merit. We haven't been good enough. The rest of the league has been that much better than us. And as bad as the squad is at the moment, as problematic as the squad is at the moment, there's no doubt it should be doing a little bit better than it is at the moment. And it's not all Paul Clement's fault. I mean, last season he worked a miracle keeping us up from a similar situation with what I believe is a worse squad. And he did that by, you know, working out a system involving Gylfi Sigurdsson and Fernando Llorente, getting the best out of those two. And of course, with 2 weeks to go in the transfer window in the summer, both of those players were sold. So, you know, in that case, his job was made considerably tougher. And we never did bring in a player to replace Gylfi Sigurdsson, which now looks, well, it looked at the time like a mad decision. It now looks even crazier. And that's really why we are where we are. So in that case, you have to have a degree of sympathy for him. But football being the way football is, the cold hard truth is that Swansea still need to do everything they can to stay up, and Paul Clement was not going to keep us up. If we were going to keep him, he was going to take us down, and they've made the right choice in sacking him right before the January transfer window, which is just so important for us now.
Yeah, and as you say, you have been a little bit left behind as you are sitting in 20th, but worth noting that unlike in past years, you have by no means been cut adrift. If you put two wins together, you could find yourself all the way up in 13th. Just to illustrate how close things are still down there. So very much a recoverable situation. After the Clement sacking, Leon Britton was appointed, was really hoping for a player-manager thing, but like Monk, decided to just go the manager route in his two matches. Got a draw against Palace and a pretty rough loss against Liverpool that just kind of got out of hand when they started scoring buckets. But what did you think of Leon Britton's brief stint, and do you think he has a future in a kind of a managerial path?
Possibly coaching. I'm not sure about if he has the personality really for management, if I'm being perfectly honest. As much of a club legend as he is, I always got the feeling that this was going to be one of those caretaker stints, which is just a caretaker stint. I mean, he had a little bit of an impact against Palace. We did keep the ball much better and pass it around much better, which is what you'd expect from a team managed by Leon. Then, of course, we still didn't create much against Palace, and it did take a real wonder strike from Jordan Ayew to get us a point in that game, a deserved point, but, you know, we weren't going to score any other way. And those kind of goals do not come very often from Jordan Ayew, I can tell you. And then fast forward to the Anfield match, and he was very much the villain of the piece, Jordan Ayew, one of several. That was not a good performance. There were signs in the first half that maybe we were trying to play slightly better football, but when you look at the goals that we conceded at Anfield, they were just incredible, really. I mean, Liverpool don't need help to score goals. They've got the players to do it without any help from the opposition. But John Ayew's dive for the first one, he was directly involved in four of Liverpool's goals, which is quite incredible from a player who should really be at the other end of the pitch. And Leroy Fair was, again, just awful, again, as he is pretty much all the time. Several other players just didn't seem to have any kind of impact, positive impact on the game. And it was just a coward's performance, really. It was gutless. The players didn't look like they want to be there. They were ducking challenges. They weren't really putting up a fight. And they made life very easy for Liverpool in that second half. And it was a really disappointing performance from the players, one which really let the fans down, I'll be honest. I mean, we can accept the lack of quality. We know we've got a lack of quality in several positions across the pitch. What you can't accept is just that lack of fight and just giving up and not concentrating and doing your best throughout the 90 minutes. I mean, that's what gets you down as a fan when you see that kind of stuff happening. So, I mean, Leon Britton has had some kind of positive impact, but, you know, the same old problems are there. And against Liverpool, those problems were augmented, if anything.
Interesting stuff. Then on to today's news, which is why we're recording this and bringing this to you now. You have just signed on Carlos Carvajal, who was at Sheffield Wednesday last season, did very well with them, got them up to fourth. He's made the playoffs twice in a row. Didn't look like that was going to happen this season as he was in 15th. He was sacked right around Christmas, which our Sheffield Wednesday supporter on the championship show, Louis Shackshaft, had always said was about the exit date for him if things didn't turn around. Quickly, what do you think, about hiring a manager that seems to be kind of falling upwards, having been sacked at a championship club, being appointed at a Premier League one? And obviously, we'll get a little more in depth here in a bit.
I'm actually quite happy with Cavall's signing. I think when you look at the other names that we were linked with, it was probably the best of the bunch, but by quite some distance, in my opinion. You know, all the others had their various problems. This is a manager who is tactically. I've been very impressed by what he's done at Sheffield Wednesday over the last 2.5 years. People forget maybe where Sheffield Wednesday were before that. They were a bit of a nothing club. They hadn't challenged for the championship playoffs since they were relegated from the Premier League back in the late 90s. This wasn't a club that was used to playing towards the top end of the second tier. And he got them there. And he got them there playing some good football too. You know, there were two straight disappointments in the playoffs. Once missing out to Wembley in a season where I think they could have really gone up. And then last season just falling short in the semi-finals. And then this season, they've just not recovered from that. They've had their problems, and the football has not been good. And it just seems like Cavall has run out of steam. But I think what he's done overall at Sheffield Wednesday gives us reason to be hopeful that actually this can be a very good appointment for the Swans.
Yeah, the question I have on this is how you view it as a Swansea fan. Is this a move made to try to keep you up in the Premier League this season, or one more focused on kind of having a balance so that regardless of what happens, you have somebody that you think could kind of lead you going into the future, knowing that it is a short-term contract with the possibility of an extension?
It's a bit of a strange one, really, because he's only apparently been appointed until the end of the season with the option of an extension. I mean, you would have thought that this was an appointment with fully knowing that we were favourites for the drop, and that if we do go down, as is probably likely, more likely than not, looking at our current predicament, if we are to go down, then you'd think we'd have a ready-made manager there who knows the championship, who's done well in the championship before, and who can really rebuild after relegation. You would have thought that was the case, but then it's hard to know what the club's motives are in only giving him a contract until the end of the season, because you would imagine that if he does manage to keep us up, he would have done something so incredible that he would deserve a little bit more time, a bit like Paul Clements, you could say, even though that didn't end up too well in the end. On the other hand, if he does go down, you would have thought that he was among the best options then to take us into the championship season. So it's a bit of a strange one only giving him until the end of the season. I know he's a manager that doesn't tend to stay at clubs for very long, but still, that is a bit of a surprising one. And it indicates that maybe Swansea have got their eye on somebody else, but they weren't able to bring them in midway through the current season, but may feel that if the circumstances are right, they could still be available in the summer.
Yeah, with a new manager, obviously different players will be kind of given a shot. I know Roque Mesa wasn't getting playing time, although he did under the brief tenure of Leon Britton. And then obviously Renato Sanchez has been one of the biggest disappointments, I'm sure, for Swansea and largely for Premier League fans, because everyone was so excited to see such a kind of touted wunderkind in the Premier League. Do you think this appointment will help either of them really flesh out their ability?
Due to the fact that Carvajal is Portuguese, the great hope is that he can get a tune out of Renato Sanchez, who's looked miserable as sin since he arrived here. Hopefully he can figure out a way to drum it into his head what needs to happen to work on his basic skills and get him functioning as a Premier League player again, because he's looked anything but that since he arrived. With Roque Mesa, the penny dropped far too late with Paul Clement, that we needed that kind of player in midfield, that you couldn't just have your jack-of-all-trades trade midfielders there, your Sam Clucas's, your Tom Carroll, your Renato Sanchez's, these Leroy Fair, possibly these players who don't really have a speciality in midfield. You need somebody there who is going to keep the ball moving, to offer that little bit of protection for midfield, and that just stick to that. That not, you know, he doesn't have to go forward attacking, can leave that to other people. You just need that little protection there. So I hope that he will keep playing under Carvajal, because it's a position which has been so important for us over the years. Apart from that, I mean, at Sheffield Wednesday on the whole, he was good defensively, got them very well drilled at the back. We've been okay on the whole this season defensively, but obviously against Liverpool, that all fell to pieces. But the real problem, of course, which needs to be addressed is going forward. And sadly, I don't think that problem is going to be addressed unless we get some real quality in January. And it'll be interesting to see if he's got any kind of ideas about players he'd like to bring in. Interestingly, Fernando Forestieri, who was brilliant for him at Sheffield Wednesday, he's coming back from injury in January, and he is the kind of player who we could really do with. Just that little imaginative, creative, little flair player who not only scores goals but causes problems and creates chances for others too. I'd really, really like to see that kind of player brought in, and maybe Carvajal's connections can do that. But I honestly believe that whatever Carvajal does, if he doesn't get those quality number 10, the creative wingers, they're just that creative element in January. I think whatever he tries to do, he'll have his hands tied behind his back, and we will end up going down. So January is a huge month for us. It will probably decide whether we really make a fist of it in this relegation battle or go down with a whimper. One thing I'm very glad about is the fact that we have brought the manager in before January. That just allows us to hit the ground running in January, and hopefully we won't be waiting until the final days of the window to bring in these players.
Right. Do you think that the manager will be back here in January? Again, it is strange that he's on a short-term contract, but I assume that they would want to make sure that he has the best chance of staying up as possible.
You'd hope so. Aronas know that this squad, they must know that the squad isn't good enough to stay up, and they must know that there are some real gaping holes in this squad which need to be filled. And without doing that, then we go down, and if we go down, the value of the club drops. Their investment is really harmed by that. So you'd think, from a business point of view, they'd be wanting to do everything they can to keep the club in the Premier League. And there is money to spend, because we know there is money left over from the Gylfi Sigurdsson sale in the summer. Not all of it was blown on terrible players. Some of it was kept behind for January.
Shout out to Sam Klukas.
Sam Klukas in my more than anybody else. God, what is he doing at this club? There is a little bit of money there. They may have to dip into their own pockets slightly too. There is talk that maybe we'll have to sell to bring in all the players we want. That would be really, really harmful, you'd imagine, because we don't really have that many players who'd be able to draw a big price if we were to sell them. There have been rumours that West Ham may come in for Alfie Mawson. That would be suicidal if we were to sell him. I'd hope that we could bring players in without selling the players who have actually been doing reasonably well so far this season. But Swansea's a crazy club, and you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, kind of sticking on the ownership, I know there have been a lot of questions asked lately. There's been some vitriol towards Hugh Jenkins as well, that he might be in some shady stuff. How do you feel about the ownership right now, and do you think that they've handled this whole managerial situation that has been kind of the overarching topic throughout this whole show? Do you think they've handled that well?
I actually think that the managerial situation has been handled pretty well. I think Clement was sacked roughly the right time. There are plenty of fans who will argue he should have gone earlier, but I don't think it was unreasonable to give him the games that that he did get in the end. And fair play to them, they've been reasonably swift in getting somebody else in, and it's quite impressive that Carvajal was sacked after the weekend, was it?
Yeah, 2 days he was out of a job.
He was sacked, and then straight away he's back in work, and they obviously, so an alarm went off in their head as soon as the news broke that he'd left Wednesday, and thinking, oh, actually this guy ticks a few boxes for us, let's go in and try and get him in. And they've got him in very, very quickly, which is good work by them, actually, because what was it, a little more than a year ago when Bob Bradley, it's 2 years ago now, when Gary Monk was sacked, we were waiting a month without the manager. And that was just a chaotic period. So fair play to them. They've done pretty well to get somebody in before January now, which was vitally important. And as far as I'm concerned, it is somebody who ticks quite a few boxes for Swansea and has a decent chance of doing well, in my opinion.
Yeah, and just kind of wrapping up your final thoughts on the whole Hugh Jenkins and ownership group right now, what's the fan base feeling about them at the moment?
The main enemy is definitely Hugh Jenkins, as far as many fans are concerned. Several supporter groups have been set up. Now, the most notable one is the Swansea City Supporters Alliance. It'll be interesting to see what form this group takes. I mean, Swansea's history tells you that when fans aren't happy with the way the club is run, then they do something about it. They don't just boo and hiss. They'll actually go out and try to change things. The main aim of this new group's Swansea City Supporters Alliance is to get Hugh Jenkins out of the club. They very much see him as the main cancer within the club, which is obviously a strange situation being, considering he was an untouchable hero not that long ago. But his actions in the takeover and his recent record in transfers and just a few other things which have gone on since then, they've really turned the fan base against him. And this new group, it includes some very prominent fans and people who are highly respected within the club, people who used to have a great deal to do with the supporters' trust before it lost a considerable amount of influence with the takeover. So, you know, this is a group which, it'll be interesting to keep an eye on them. It's not just a bunch of keyboard warriors coming together to send some nasty tweets. There are some formidable players there backing this group, and I'm not sure exactly what form their protest will take, but there's no doubt that there will be some kind of action on the way. I don't think the American owners are really getting the brunt of the anger. I think there is an acceptance that they want the best for the club, because obviously their investment relies on it. But also, of course, there is a bit of frustration that they don't seem to know what they're doing. They are learning as they go along how to run the Premier League football club. I don't think they're really learning quickly enough. And they do still, I mean, we're a year and a half into their ownership now, and they're still finding their feet in the new league and trying to work out really where to go with the club. They've not been incredibly impressive since they came in, but while there is a little bit of frustration with them, Hugh Jenkins remains the key figure here who a lot of fans want to see the back of.
Interesting stuff. Well, congratulations on getting a manager in. Hopefully you can turn it around much as you did last season from last place. And just on a personal note, I know I've spoken to you personally and on Twitter before. I think the Premier League is a better league with Swansea in it, and really hope that this appointment will help you stay up for what should be an exciting 2018-19 campaign, which is only, what, 8 to 9 months away.
We'll see. We'll see if we'll still be part of that Premier League campaign. We'll probably be recording championship podcasts with you.
Fair enough. All right, Gito, thanks so much for joining me. Tell the folks where they can find you.
Yeah, if you want to hear more on the new manager, the Jack Cast podcast will be recording in the coming days. Just need to find a date which suits everyone. And you can find us on Twitter at the Jack Cast.
All right. Thanks again. We'll catch you next time.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.